continuing the theme of violations of constitutional rights, we'll also talk with Dario Sanchez, one of the defendants in what the government has labeled the first Antifa terrorism prosecution.
A computer science teacher, Dario was arrested in a pre-dawn raid, and along with several others, now faces terrorism-related charges stemming from a July 4th protest. Stay with us. Bogosian, New York City attorney and activist.
I'm Stephen Rohde, retired civil rights lawyer and author on issues of civil liberties. The day after Thanksgiving last year, in an undeserved win for Donald Trump and a sad loss for higher education, Northwestern University joined Columbia and Brown Universities by capitulating to Trump's year-long campaign to bribe American colleges and universities into paying ransom to restore millions of dollars of federal research grants he had illegally suspended on the pretext that the universities had failed to adequately monitor anti-Semitism on their campuses. Northwestern agreed to pay the Trump administration $75 million and enter into a three-year settlement agreement containing a host of provisions serious.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Donald Trump, I call on you once again, remove this force from Minnesota. They are sowing chaos and violence. We've seen deadly violence from federal agents again and again and again.
Today, we'll spend the hour in Minnesota, where Governor Tim Walz has activated the National Guard following the second shooting death of a protester in Minneapolis by federal immigration agents. Alex Preti, an ICU nurse at the Veterans Administration, was helping a woman push to the ground when he was tackled and shot. He had a holstered gun that he was legally permitted to carry, but he never took out. We'll go to Minneapolis for a report from the streets and speak to a doctor who is a former colleague.
Alex was a sweet, kind, and gentle soul who had a strong sense of civic responsibility and really stood up for his community and his neighbors. His death is a devastating blow and truly frightening for all of us that want to stand up for our communities and our neighbors, and tells us that any interaction with ICE can be life-threatening.
Then we'll be joined by Nikema Levy Armstrong, the civil rights lawyer, minister, and activist who was arrested last week and jailed for protesting peacefully in a St. Paul church. She's now been released.
I'm grateful to have my freedom after feeling as if I was abducted by the federal government and the Trump administration merely for speaking truth to power about the joint role of David Easterwood as being a pastor and the director of the ICE office in Minnesota. What's next is that we continue to persevere in challenging the status quo, as well as fighting our case in court.
And we'll continue to hear from many Minnesotans themselves. On Friday, tens of thousands marched through the streets, closed businesses, and rallied for ICE to get out of Minnesota.
The fear is so tangible. This is our last option. We need to shut it all down. And so I am calling on every educator in this state, in this country, to shut it down with Minneapolis, with St. Paul. You need to shut it all down with us, because if we do not shut it down right now, your city is next.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Protests are continuing in Minnesota after federal immigration agents fatally shot 37-year-old Alex Jeffrey Preddy in Minneapolis Saturday. He was an intensive care unit nurse in the Minneapolis Veterans Healthcare System who was filming officers on his phone during a protest against President Trump's immigration crackdown in Minneapolis. His killing comes just weeks after ICE fatally shot Renee Good, a 37-year-old mother of three in Minneapolis, and after Friday's demonstrations, where over 50,000 people took to the streets of downtown Minneapolis protesting ICE as thousands of residents held a general economic strike. Federal agents claimed Preddy was a violent gunman who threatened to massacre law enforcement. But video evidence and witness statements directly contradict their account. Video footage shows Preddy being wrestled to the ground by several law enforcement officers before being shot 10 times in less than 5 seconds. The videos show Preddy coming to the defense of a woman who was shoved to the ground by a federal officer. The officer then sprays Preddy with a chemical agent before tackling him to the street. Six agents surround Preddy on the ground. At least one appears to fire at him at close range. They then step away from Preddy's body, and one officer appears to fire six shots at Preddy's motionless body. Preddy had no criminal record and had a legal permit to carry a firearm, which he never took out. Preddy's parents released a statement after his killing saying, quote, "We are heartbroken, but also very angry. The sickening lies told about our son by the administration are reprehensible and disgusting. Alex is clearly not holding a gun when attacked by Trump's murdering and cowardly ICE thugs. He has his phone in his right hand, and his empty left hand is raised above his head while trying to protect the woman ICE just pushed down, all while being pepper sprayed," his parents wrote. The Department of Homeland Security has blocked local investigators from probing the fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy. Protests erupted in Minnesota in the wake of Preddy's killing.
What I've been seeing is that the community has been talking to each other as real people, and these people have come in and been hurting us. They've been attacking us when we've been doing nothing but following the law, peacefully observing, and then they decide to gang up and kill one of us.
NBC News is reporting President Trump is considering invoking the Insurrection Act to quell protests against ICE in Minneapolis. Minnesota's Democratic Governor Tim Walz has blamed untrained federal officers for the deaths of Renee Good and Alex Preddy. This is Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey Saturday.
How many more Americans need to die or get badly hurt for this operation to end? How many more lives need to be lost before this administration realizes that a political and partisan narrative is not as important as American values? How many times must local and national leaders must plead with you, Donald Trump, to end this operation?
Meanwhile, the NRA, the National Rifle Association, issued a statement condemning the Trump administration's claims that justify Preddy's killing because he was carrying a weapon. The NRA wrote, quote, "This sentiment is dangerous and wrong. Responsible public voices should be awaiting a full investigation, not making generalizations and demonizing law-abiding citizens," unquote. The NBA postponed Saturday's game between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors after federal agents shot and killed Preddy. The Timberwolves head coach, Chris Finch, denounced ICE's killing of Preddy ahead of the game Sunday.
For the second time in less than 3 weeks, we've lost another beloved member of our community in the most unimaginable way. You know, as an organization, we are heartbroken for what we are having to witness and endure and watch. And we just want to extend our thoughts, prayers, and concern for Mr. Preti.
The NBA Players Association also released a statement saying, quote, following the news of yet another fatal shooting in Minneapolis, a city that's been on the forefront of the fight against injustices, NBA players can no longer remain silent. Now, more than ever, we must defend the right to freedom of speech and stand in solidarity with the people in Minnesota protesting and risking their lives to demand justice, unquote. Attorney General Pam Bondi is demanding access to Minnesota's voter rolls and welfare data in exchange for pulling ICE out of the state. In a letter sent to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz just hours after ICE fatally shot Alex Preti, Attorney General Bondi wrote, quote, share all of Minnesota's records on Medicaid and food and nutrition service programs, including the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program data with the federal government, unquote. Adding, quote, allow the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice to access voter rolls to confirm that Minnesota's voter registration practices comply with federal law, unquote. Meanwhile, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said Democrats plan to block a funding package next week if it includes money for the Department of Homeland Security. It comes as 120 House Democrats are sponsoring a bill to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Tracy Mergen, an FBI supervisor in the Minneapolis field office, has resigned after unsuccessfully trying to investigate ICE agent Jonathan Ross, who fatally shot Renee Good. Mergen resigned after being pressured by the FBI's Washington Bureau to discontinue her probe into Ross. It comes as Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche said, quote, there is currently no basis for a criminal civil rights investigation, unquote, into Good's killing. Israeli forces have launched a military operation in North Gaza to search for the remains of soldier Ran Gvili, the last hostage held in the besieged territory. Israel has conditioned the reopening of the Rafah crossing between southern Gaza and Egypt on whether it retrieves the remains of Gvili. Israel's announcement came as Palestinians in Gaza mourn the killing of at least three Palestinians in Israeli attacks and another violation of the U.S. brokered truce. Among the victims, two children killed in an Israeli drone strike on a group of Palestinians gathering firewood near Kamel Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza. They were identified as 13-year-old Salman al-Zawara and his 15-year-old cousin, Mohammed al-Zawara. This is Mohammed's father.
So this is the peace they talk about? This is it? This is the peace? This is surrender, not peace. Now Mohammed is gone.
While Israel continues to violate the so-called ceasefire, President Trump's envoy, Steve Witkoff, and Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, held another discussion with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this week on efforts to implement the second phase of the Gaza truce. In news from the occupied West Bank, Al Jazeera reports Israeli soldiers are forcing Palestinians to evacuate a number of buildings, including schools and kindergartens, in the town of Kafr Aqab, amidst escalating Israeli raids across the West Bank. In Britain, at least 86 protesters were arrested on the grounds of a London jail as they gathered to demand the release of Palestine Action political prisoners. The protest also focused on Palestine Action prisoner Mohammed Umar Khalid, who's 22 years old and relaunched his hunger strike about 2 weeks ago. He'd initially been on hunger strike since November, briefly pausing in December due to severe health complications. Videos of the protest at West London's Wormwood Scrubs jail shows police shoving protesters to the ground and handcuffing them. At least eight activists remain jailed as they await trial over charges related to their advocacy with Palestine Action, which was banned by the British government under its Terrorism Act. Many of them were previously on hunger strike for more than a month. Venezuela's interim government released more than 100 prisoners Sunday. The Venezuelan human rights group Foro Penal said dozens of those released had been detained for political reasons. Interim Venezuelan leader Delcy Rodriguez has vowed to continue to release hundreds of prisoners, including opponents of President Nicolas Maduro, who remains in a New York jail, along with his wife, following the U.S. military strike on Caracas earlier this month that led to their abduction. Meanwhile, Rodriguez has said she's had enough of what she slammed as orders from the Trump administration, saying the United States should, quote, let Venezuelan politics resolve our differences and internal conflicts. Enough of foreign powers, the acting president said. Rodriguez spoke from the Caribbean coastal town of Puerto La Cruz on Sunday.
We are at the forefront of Venezuela's economic and social happiness, and now it is up to us to become the country with the largest oil reserves in the world and the largest gas reserves in this hemisphere. Now it is up to us to become a true oil and gas producing power. We must not be afraid of the energy agenda, neither with the United States nor with the rest of the countries in the world.
The chair of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices at the CDC, Dr. Kirk Milhone, said that shots against polio and measles should be optional. His comments came in an interview with the podcast Why Should I Trust You?, where Dr. Milhone said, quote, as you look at polio, we need to not be afraid to consider that we're in a different time now than we were then. Our sanitation is different, our risk of disease is different, and so that those all play into the evaluation of whether this is worthwhile of taking a risk for a vaccine or not, unquote. During the interview, he called school vaccinations authoritarian. Dr. Sean O'Leary, the chair of the Infectious Disease Committee at the American Academy of Pediatrics, said in response, quote, he has no idea what he's talking about. It's very frustrating for those of us who spend our careers trying to do what we can to improve the health of children to see harm coming to children because of an ideological agenda not grounded in science, unquote. And the Marxist scholar, political analyst, historian, and author Michael Parenti has died at the age of 92. He was an outspoken critic of capitalism, imperialism, and class inequities, whose intellectual works were celebrated around the world. He was the author of over 20 books, including Democracy for the Few and Super Patriotism. This is Michael Parenti on Democracy Now! In 2009.
Well, I argue that one of the functions of a capitalist state is to defend capitalism from itself, to defend capitalism from the capitalists. It was Marx, yeah, we mentioned him, I hear he's coming back in style. It was Marx who said one capitalist will kill many other capitalists, that the system, it begins to consume itself. We see that with Bernard Madoff and the like. The free market does not work. It's not free. It's not really a market. It's a plunder, and it has to be done away with.
To see our interviews with Michael Parenti, you can go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Minnesota, where federal immigration agent Saturday fatally shot Alex Jeffrey Preti, a 37-year-old ICU nurse who worked in the Minneapolis Veterans Healthcare System. Preti's killing came just over 2 weeks after an ICE agent fatally shot Renee Good, a 37-year-old poet and mother of three. And it came a day after a massive protest in Minnesota against Trump's immigration crackdown. As in the case of Renee Good, Trump administration officials quickly claimed Alex Preti posed a threat. Preti was a licensed gun owner and was armed, but video shows he never took out his gun. White House advisor Stephen Miller called Preti a would-be assassin. Border Patrol Chief Greg Bovino claimed Preti wanted to, quote, massacre law enforcement, unquote. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem claimed Preti had, quote, brandished a weapon. But video from the scene and sworn testimony from eyewitnesses told a very different story. I want to read the words of one eyewitness. The witness begins by describing how Preti had been helping to direct traffic in the minutes before he was fatally shot. The eyewitness wrote, quote, I and the man who was observing and helping direct traffic were standing in the street. There was a phone in the man's hand recording a video. An agent approached and asked us to back up, so I moved slowly back onto the sidewalk. The man stayed in the street filming as the other observers were being forced backward by another ICE agent threatening them with pepper spray. The man went closer to support them as they got threatened, just with his camera out. I didn't see him reach for or hold a gun. Then the ICE agent shoved one of the other observers to the ground. Then he started pepper spraying all three of them directly in the face and all over. The man with the phone put his hands above his head and the agent sprayed him again and pushed him. Then the man tried to help up the woman the ICE agent had shoved to the ground. The ICE agents just kept spraying. More agents came over and grabbed the man who was still trying to help the woman get up. The agents pulled the man on the ground. I didn't see him touch any of them. He wasn't even turned toward them. It didn't look like he was trying to resist, just trying to help the woman up. I didn't see him with a gun. They threw him to the ground. Four or five agents had him on the ground, and they just started shooting him. They shot him so many times. I don't know why they shot him. He was only helping. I was 5 feet from him, and they just shot him. That's the sworn testimony of an individual who witnessed immigration agents fatally shoot Alex Pretty on the streets of Minneapolis Saturday morning. Video shows Pretty never reach for his gun and that an agent disarmed him by removing Pretty's gun from its holster before the first shot was fired. A total of 10 shots were fired. Six of the shots were fired at Pretty's motionless body. A doctor who witnessed the shooting described what happened next by saying, quote, "I saw that the victim was lying on his side and was surrounded by several ICE agents. I was confused as to why the victim was on his side because that's not standard practice when a victim has been shot. Checking for a pulse and administering CPR is standard practice. Instead of doing either of those things, the ICE agents appeared to be counting his bullet wounds," unquote. After the shooting, the federal government blocked local investigators from reviewing the evidence, just like it did after the fatal shooting of Renee Good. On Saturday night, a federal judge issued a temporary restraining order barring federal officials, quote, from destroying or altering evidence, unquote. A federal court hearing is set for today. Several Republican lawmakers have called for joint federal and state investigations. Louisiana Republican Senator Bill Cassidy said, quote, the credibility of ICE and DHS are at stake, unquote. Democracy Now!'s John Hamilton was in the streets of Minneapolis this weekend and filed this report.
9 a.m. on Saturday morning, gunshots ring out across a stretch of the Whittier neighborhood of South Minneapolis known as Eep Street. Video of the homicide began to circulate across social media, prompting shocked and angry neighbors to pour into the streets despite temperatures below zero Fahrenheit. Within hours, protesters from across the Twin Cities region converged near the intersection of Nicollet Avenue and 26th Street, the site of the killing. They were met with extraordinary violence. Those arrested by the masked federal agents were shoved into unmarked SUVs, many with out-of-state plates.
They took my sister, Donna. She was on the corner exercising her First Amendment right to protest. We were standing on the corner. We got separated by ICE, and I turned around to find her, and she was being thrown on the ground, and there was, I don't know, four or five agents on top of her, and then they drug her to a car or to something. It might be that van down there. Sorry, I just want to find my sister Donna. Please, somebody help me find where I can pick her up.
Okay. We're just running away from the gas. Oh, you're dead.
Just as they did after ICE agent Jonathan Ross fatally shot Renee Good on January 7th, federal agents blocked state investigators with the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension from approaching the scene. even after BCA officers obtained a warrant signed by a judge.
My name is Kevin. I live a block away from here. I woke up today and heard the news and immediately came outside to start protesting. These people are Nazi fascists and they need to get out of our neighborhoods. They need to be abolished. This entire agency needs to be abolished. The constitutional observers are being dragged out of their vehicles. They're still breaking their windows, breaking out of their vehicles, pepper spraying. I'm seeing people being pepper sprayed who are just lying down and already tackled by three Border Patrol agents. This latest video, this person, six Border Patrol agents around them and they still shot them five times in the street. It's just outright murder. They're just outright murdering us.
Yeah, hi, my name is Jeremy, and right now I'm standing on Stevens and 26th here, and I've got a ton of ICE agents sitting in the street, and they're all trying to push us back and get us out of the area. Just this morning, six ICE officers shot and killed one person. I came out here to protest, and all they have done ever since is arrest innocent people for walking into the street.
About 4 hours after they were filmed committing homicide in a video that was already racing across the internet, the masked federal agents left the scene. They drove away angry but peaceful protesters with volleys of tear gas, concussion grenades, and other so-called less lethal weapons. ICE, Border Patrol, and other federal agents left in a convoy of SUVs tailed by an armored vehicle. Vacating a crime scene without any coordination with state or local law enforcement.
As they were leaving, they just started throwing tear gas and concussion flashbangs into the crowd. Nobody was doing anything. I was literally shaking hands with people I was talking to as they were leaving.
Just minutes after federal agents left the scene, uniformed state police officers fired volleys of tear gas as they left in a convoy that was flanked by a pair of armored vehicles. Reverend Genjo Sam Conway lives three blocks from the scene of the killing. He woke up to the sound of a helicopter overhead and rushed to the scene after learning the news.
This is somebody else. This is the DNR now. And the state patrol is what it looks like. We don't understand, one, why they're here, and we don't understand, two, why they're allowed to be masked as well. They are also refusing to identify themselves and not providing badge numbers or names. Get ICE out of here and be on our side. You're supposed to protect us, not them. They don't live here. Help us. Help us right now. This is an occupation.
With the stench of tear gas still in the air, protesters gathered by the hundreds at the intersection of 26th and Nicollet Avenue, where they erected barricades cutting off vehicle traffic and erecting a memorial at the site of the killing.
Say his name!
Alex Brady!
Alex Brady! He was murdered by ICE, by our government! We should be outraged! All of you should be mad! All of you should be angry! We cannot stand for this! Say his name!
Alex Brady!
Alex Brady!
Alex Brady!
Across the street from where Alex Preti was gunned down by federal agents is Glam Doll Donuts, where eyewitnesses watched the killing through the restaurant's front window. Inside, some of the staff who witnessed the violence are feeding donuts and coffee to protesters who've come in from the cold.
My name is Melissa. I'm a volunteer for being a medic. And I'm here because I saw in my neighborhood that a nurse was murdered on Nicollet, and there was a lot of people here getting pepper sprayed. And so I wanted to come down and provide services to help our community. We've seen everything from people that are unconscious, that have fainted, tear gassed, bruised, bloody noses, can't breathe, like asthmatic events. Just simple things I haven't seen besides the worst thing that could happen to a human being, murdered. And I wasn't here at that time, but there were several people that are here now that were present. This is my neighborhood. I have to be out here. Right before, when I was coming here, I called my son to let him know where I was going and that I was volunteering as a medic, because I don't know. It could have been me. We are all Renee Good. It could have been us. The gentleman, I don't know his name, that was murdered today, that could have been my son or you. It's random. He was an observer. I'm an observer. I have this medic badge, but what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. They don't care.
Jaylani Hussein is a Somali-American civil rights activist and executive director of the Minnesota chapter of CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations.
We are here again at another scene of a murder of really a neighbor who decided to be an observer today. You could see the videos that he was at the time standing up for his neighbors, and ICE agents did not like that and appeared to be approaching him, wrestling him to the ground, and then later on shooting and killing him. So it's a really tense situation. Minnesotans have come out today. There's a lot of people on the streets. We really just cannot make sense of what's happening. We are under assault. We are under attack. We're besieged by the federal government. We have 3,000 masked men in our community. Our law enforcement are overwhelmed, and we're feeling a sense of overcome by everything that's happening. Yet yesterday, in one of the coldest days of the year, nearly negative 10 degrees, 50,000 people came out in protesting. And it's just a reminder of who we are. And then just a day after we had that many people come out, who were inspired to stand up for Renee Good, for their neighbors, and then to have one of our neighbors once again murdered. It's just incredible. And it's testing our state and our leadership and our community. I know we're resilient, and we will win at the end.
Alex Preti and Renee Good were both 37 years old and both residents of Minneapolis's South Side.
My name is Omar Fateh, state senator representing Southside Minneapolis District 62, also the site in which both Alex and Renee Good have been murdered. Right now we're inside Glam Doll Donuts off of Nicolette, right by the site of, in which Alex was murdered at the hands of ICE. This morning, Alex was outside with all of our neighbors, serving as a neighborhood protector, recording ICE when ICE comes into the community. We've had neighborhood response groups come together, prepare, organize each other. And we've gotten a lot of misinformation and lies spread by the federal government and right wing, saying that he was a threat to our ICE agents. He was a threat to the neighbors, and that's completely false. What we saw on camera was Alex was peacefully observing. He had a camera on his hand. He was tackled, he was pummeled, and he was executed. And we've seen that on camera. Well, we've seen our president talk out of both sides of his mouth. At one time, he's saying that he wants to target, quote-unquote, criminals, folks that are here illegally. And then he's saying that, no, we've got to get all the Somalis out. We've got to send them back to their country. They're all criminals. And so what we're seeing right now, and that's very evident here in Minneapolis, is that not only our immigrant communities are being targeted, but literally United States citizens have been murdered.
On Sunday morning, state investigators with the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension were seen canvassing the site where Alex Preti was killed. They noted the locations of security cameras and asked people to step aside while they inspected the site of the shooting.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. We really appreciate it.
Heidi Randon is a registered nurse who joined other healthcare workers at a vigil honoring Alex Jeffrey Preti.
Alex was an ICU nurse at the VA. That's one of the toughest jobs in the world, and I'm so grateful to Alex for the care that he provided his patients, and I'm holding his family in my heart right now, and I'm holding his coworkers in my heart. These people are not helpers. They are not enforcing the law. They are causing chaos, and they are hurting people. And they need to go.
For Democracy Now!, I'm John Hamilton in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Special thanks to John Hamilton. When we come back, we speak to a doctor who hired Alex Preti, the ICU nurse fatally shot by federal immigration agents in Minnesota on Saturday. Stay with us.
In my hoggity forsaken, got no reason to cry. You got to chew the angels falling from on high. Waiting for no answer, baking woeful pie. Pie of eyesight, pie blue black. Oh, that pie, the pie of by and by. In the hoggity forsaken, he will leave you one more chance. Which if you won't be taken, he'll leave it for the ants. Sings out in the wilderness, sings for friend and foe. He sings of these and those times.
Hog of the Forsaken by the late folk musician Michael Hurley. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to look more at the life of Alex Preti, fatally shot by federal immigration agents in Minnesota Saturday morning after he tried to help a woman they had shoved to the ground. Preti was an intensive care nurse who worked at the Minneapolis Veterans Affairs healthcare system. The family of Alex released a statement saying in part, "We're heartbroken, but also very angry. Alex was a kind-hearted soul who cared deeply for his family and friends and also the American veterans whom he cared for as an ICU nurse at the Minneapolis VA hospital. Alex wanted to make a difference in this world. Unfortunately, he will not be with us to see his impact," his family said. This is a video of Alex Preti working at the VA hospital. He's seen here reading a tribute to veteran Terrence Randolph, who died of cancer in 2024 at the VA hospital. Randolph's son posted the video online.
Terrence Lee Randolph, March 30th, 1947, December 10th, 2024. Today we remember that freedom is not free. We have to work at it, nurture it, protect it, and even sacrifice for it. May we never forget and always remember our brothers and sisters who have served so that we may enjoy the gift of freedom. So in this moment, we remember and give thanks for their dedication and selfless service to our nation in the cause of our freedom. In this solemn hour, we render them our honor and our gratitude.
That was Alex Preti speaking. We're joined now by Dr. Asma Shaket. She hired Alex for a research position at the Minneapolis Veterans Affairs healthcare system about a decade ago. She's now a physician and clinical researcher at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine and the Manhattan VA Medical Center. Dr. Shaket, thanks so much for taking this time. Our deepest condolences. You've called Alex the sweetest, kindest, gentlest soul. So, can you talk about who Alex was, what he did at the VA, why you even hired him a decade ago?
Thank you for having me on. Alex came looking for a position, and he wanted to start off as a research assistant. And what he said was he was passionate about taking care of patients and being involved in healthcare and helping his community. And he wanted to kind of work towards a career in healthcare. So we took him on as a research assistant, and he was absolutely wonderful and a joy to work with. Went above and beyond to help anybody and really had a good rapport with all the patients that were part of the study. And I think patients connected with him on based on his deep empathy for them. He was the kind of helpful person that would open doors for you. If somebody was trying to get in the elevator, he'd hold it for you. If he saw a patient wandering around the hospital looking lost, he would try to help them and direct them. And he did everything really well and then expressed an interest to go into nursing school. We supported his application, and he worked very hard during his first few years doing work with us full time and taking nursing classes part time, and then eventually went into nursing full time. He said he would come back and take care of veterans who are a particularly vulnerable and important group of individuals that require a lot of care. And he actually did. So he came back to work at the same hospital where he started.
Can you talk about how you found out that Alex had been killed? Was it from the official DH statement? I think they called him something along the lines of a domestic terrorist.
I actually found out from our original clinical research group. We still keep in touch and we have a group chat. And we were all in shock. We just couldn't believe that this was our Alex, the Alex we knew, who was nothing but kindness, compassion, and just a strong sense of civic duty to help his fellow citizens.
And can you give us examples of his research role where Alex's compassion or intellect directly impacted a veteran's care or a study's outcome? Was he involved with clinical trials?
He was involved with clinical trials. A lot of it had to do with enrolling potential participants that were eligible, speaking with them, and then following up on them. And one of our particular studies we were recruiting for, I remember he told us about a patient that he was able to speak with who was having a lot of difficulties just about his medical and overall life. And Alex was not just able to tell him about the study, but also guide him in terms of where he should go for his healthcare or what kind of questions he should ask with his physicians. So really, he went above and beyond, and his compassion really shone through.
Can you talk about the differences between being a healthcare professional for veterans and for civilians, Dr. Shockett?
Yes, sure. So Veterans Affairs hospital systems take care of veterans. And, you know, these are very, very valued members of our society that have put their lives on the line for the country. So we owe them a lot. They also have a lot of medical as well as mental health challenges, along with socioeconomic and other challenges that they face. So they're a particularly vulnerable group, and one that it is both challenging and rewarding to work with. So that's what Alex wanted to do, was really help the most vulnerable and the disfranchised group that, you know, others don't really pay attention to.
Dr. Shockett, beyond the personal grief of losing a former colleague, can you talk about the loss of a caregiver?
I think this is an assault on our healthcare community. We care for our healthcare team members. As you know, every day it's long hours. They're underpaid and overworked. So really, it is a calling, not just a job. And for somebody to be in this noble profession, what you get out of it is the satisfaction of helping others, of being a healer. So for a member of our community to be brutally murdered like this is extremely shocking and very, very devastating for our community.
I want to thank you so much, Dr. Asma Shockett, who hired Alex Preti decade ago for a research position at the Minneapolis Veterans Affairs Healthcare System. She's now a physician and clinical researcher here in New York at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine and the Manhattan VA Medical Center. This is Democracy Now! When we come back, we turn to a civil rights attorney and minister who was arrested and jailed last week for protesting. Stay with us.
Va pasando el trapo sobre la mesa y está cuidando que todo brille como una perla. Cuando llegue la patrona, que no se vuelva a quejar. No sea cosa que la acuse de ilegal. O si atiende los jardines, parecen de Disneyland. Maneja una troca vieja sin la licencia. No importa si fue taxista allá en su tierra natal. Eso no importa para el tío Sam.
El hielo. ICE by La Santa Cecilia in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman as we continue to look at the deadly federal immigration crackdown in Minnesota. We're joined now by the civil rights attorney, minister, and activist Nakima Levy Armstrong. On Friday, she was released from jail a day after she and at least two others were arrested for participating in an anti-ICE demonstration at City's Church in St. Paul, where one of the pastors also leads a local ICE field office. This is a clip from that protest.
David Easterwood is a pastor here. He is also the director of the field office for ICE in St. Paul. So someone who claims to worship God, teaching people in this church about God, is out there overseeing ICE agents.
Nakima Levy Armstrong was arrested by Homeland Security Investigations, HSI, and FBI agents at the direction of Attorney General Pam Bondi. Bondi announced Armstrong's arrest on social media, referring to the protest as a, quote, coordinated attack on a house of worship. The White House then posted an AI-altered image of Nakima's arrest, making it appear she was crying, along with the text, arrested far-left agitator Nakima Levy Armstrong for orchestrating church riots in Minnesota. Unquote. The unaltered image clearly shows she was not crying. Nakima, welcome back to Democracy Now! There's so much to talk about since you were released from jail, not to mention what they have done to your image, not to mention them what has happened on Saturday, which we will mention, which is the killing of a second protester, Alex Preti. Your response that all that has transpired, in a moment we're going to go to the mass protest of tens of thousands of Minnesotans on Friday.
I think it's absolutely despicable, Amy, what our federal government is doing under the guise of immigration enforcement. They have essentially waged war in the streets of Minneapolis and the Twin Cities. And as you can see, two innocent civilians, American citizens, have been brutally murdered at the hands of ICE agents. Not only that, but as you saw, I'm being criminalized for helping to lead a nonviolent, peaceful demonstration inside of a church in which David Easterwood serves as a pastor, but also serves as the overseer for ICE agents in Minnesota. He is the very person who was cited in a lawsuit that was in front of Judge Menendez, where he was justifying the conduct of ICE agents, claiming that they were not behaving unconstitutionally, and also blaming protesters, claiming that protesters are the aggressors. So when you look collectively at the actions of the federal government, we have to understand that what they're doing is unconstitutional, it is diabolical, it is illegal, and it is unacceptable. We cannot be silent at a time like this. Even after what they have done to me with these trumped up charges, arresting me, literally in bringing me in shackles from the federal courthouse to the Sherburne County Jail, along with my co-defendant Chantel Allen, I am continuing to use my voice to speak out against this fascism, tyranny, and authoritarianism of the Trump administration. And others have to do the same.
What are you being charged with?
We are being charged with going into a church under the FACE Act, and they are claiming that we disrupted people from being able to practice their religion, or that we intended to, which is absolutely not true. We did not stop people from practicing their religion. As a matter of fact, there were folks who were still praying, who were still worshiping, who were still singing while we were there during the demonstration, and protesters and parishioners were engaged in conversation during that time. And so they have altered the facts, just as they altered my image, as a way of trying to criminalize nonviolent, peaceful protests and lawful dissent against their unlawful and unjust actions.
Mm. And the idea that you have been charged, but the ICE agent who killed Renee Good, an FBI agent, an FBI officer has just quit because she was prevented from investigating his death. And of course, we don't know what has happened to the CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol agents who killed Alex Preti. Were they taken out of the state? We don't know.
From our understanding, they were taken out of the state. And not only does this indicate a failure of our federal government in terms of there being literally zero checks and balances for any of these federal agents that have descended upon the streets of the Twin Cities of Minnesota, but it's also a failure of our Democratic leadership.
Nikki Malady Armstrong, I want to thank you for being with us, because we're going to end with the tens of thousands of people who braved the bitter cold Friday demanding ICE out of Minnesota. Democracy Now!'s John Hamilton was there.
It was 10 degrees below zero Fahrenheit when a crowd numbering in the tens of thousands marched through downtown Minneapolis Friday afternoon, calling on ICE to get out of Minnesota. It was the largest single day of action so far in the ongoing standoff between local community and the Trump administration since ICE, Border Patrol, and other federal agents, now numbering around 3,000, descended on Minnesota for Operation Metro Surge several weeks ago, bringing chaos, fear, and violence.
My name is Jenna Sherrick. I'm a local Minnesotan who grew up here my whole life. What's going around is not okay, and we all need to be here to make a difference and say it's not okay. When cruelty becomes reality, compassion becomes radical. Sarah Shea, I'm a Minnesotan, and I'm here to support our Inuit neighbors and our friends and families and people who are not deserving what's going on right now. It's outrageous. We're frustrated. We're angry. We're everything, and we should all be out here supporting our neighbors and getting ICE out of our city. ICE out, and we protect us, because right now that is all us. It's all community. We are the only ones out here doing it for each other.
Standing back and not doing anything doesn't help with, you know, the situation. Everybody's scared, so we need to speak out.
The day of action was organized by clergy and labor leaders under the banner ICE Out, a day of truth and freedom. The Minnesota AFL-CIO, representing over 1,000 unions across the state, endorsed the march, as well as many others. John Royce is an English teacher with the Minnesota Federation of Educators.
And we are here to shut it all down. All of us teachers from Minneapolis to St. Paul, from all the way up from Duluth down to Rochester, we are all here in the middle of Minneapolis to shut it all down for our students and their families and ICE out of our communities. Every teacher has so many stories right now, but, you know, one, last week I had a student who joined online during class, and in the middle of my lesson, I teach English, the student messaged me and said, ICE is outside of my house right now. What do I do? And, you know, I stopped class right away. All the students heard what happened. And, you know, thank God his neighbors were out there outside of his house, and they chased ICE out of their neighborhood. Those agents had been circling his house all morning. And, you know, I think it's really telling of our community, of our neighborhoods, how we've organized, and how we are out there defending one another, including my student, who, thank God, he's safe. You know, the fear is so tangible. The fear is so tangible. This is our last option. We need to shut it all down. And so I am calling on every educator in this state, in this country, to shut it down with Minneapolis, with St. Paul. You need to shut it all down with us, because if we do not shut it down right now, your city is next. And we do not want that to happen. We want to protect our students. We want our students back in schools. And the way we are going to get it is by shutting it down to get ICE the hell out of here.
Among those protesting were members of the Hmong American community, like Julie, whose family came to the United States decades ago as refugees after working alongside the U.S. in its secret war in Laos during the Vietnam War. She held a sign that read, Hmong against ICE.
Scary, because they don't, regardless if you're a citizen or not, they don't ask, no question asked. They just assume that you're illegal, that you're a criminal. And it's not fair for those of us, people of color. My parents, they're a citizen, but then we all live in fear. I'm a citizen, and I still live in fear every single day. And then now my kids are fear of, you know, going to school because they have heard of stories of kids getting detained. And then my kids, they're scared of going to school. We was promised safety. We was promised that, you know, we'll get the freedom. But yet, today's world, we are seeing that, you know, it's getting revoked. Like, the United States are taking back the words. And the question is, why? Why is it getting revoked? Why are we now being targeted as, you know, aliens, criminals? Some of us took off work, no school, no shopping, so we're all out here against ICE.
As demonstrators in the streets shut down parts of the Twin Cities, more than 700 businesses across the state closed their doors for what some called an economic blackout or general strike. Insight Brewing in Minneapolis was closed for business but stayed open for neighbors participating in the day of action. This is marketing manager Joey Steinbach.
We are a space for our community, and our community is hurting right now. And the best way that we can help out is just direct to family donations. We've got a bunch of volunteers that are absolutely stellar. Outside of that, we're just making some signs. We're providing snacks, hand warmers, you know, just being a temporary third space while we're not open for official business.
Corporations that support or work with ICE were also targeted by demonstrators, like at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. Where demonstrators gathered to protest deportation flights. The crowd of several hundred held signs that said business as usual doesn't fly and Renee Good was good. Among those who gathered were dozens of faith leaders. They shared stories of airport workers who had been arrested.
Lift up Pedro, a janitor who helped his sister who was unable to work.
The union that represents airport workers reports at least 12 members have been arrested by ICE. Clergy then joined arms and sang while others knelt and prayed before police surrounded them, and at least 100 were arrested. According to organizers, more than 70,000 people marched in Minneapolis Friday, and several thousand were in attendance at the Target Center for a rally. This is comedian and native Minnesotan Liz Winstead.
And the untold thousands that are in this sport bowl facility, I am proud to call you neighbors. I do have to point out that we are in the Target Center, which may seem ironic, but remember the Target Center is something our tax dollars pay for. So chant it with me. Whose stadium?
Our stadium.
Whose stadium?
Our stadium.
We are many.
We are many.
The venue is named after the retail giant based in Minnesota that activists have criticized for permitting ICE to operate on their property and to arrest employees without warrants.
And when today is over, let's commit to shopping at the businesses that stood with us and make sure they can make it through these tough times, because the silence from the corporations in this state is deafening.
Speaking at the rally, faith and labor leaders urged Minnesotans to continue to stand together. This is CWA President Claude Cummings.
We stand in defiance of a wannabe dictator, and we will rise against the corporations and Trump's billionaire buddies quietly funding his campaign to shred the Constitution. Political scientists and historians tell us when countries have successfully prevented or reversed authoritarian control, unions have played an important role in stopping it. How do we do that? We stand shoulder to shoulder with our union siblings and with allies across the country. We do that when we join together and focus our attention directly on the corporations that enable fascism. Our unity across communities, organizations, and unions is our power. And whatever we do, we must do it together.
And they spoke of neighbors who had been lost to ICE violence. This is Rabbi Ariel Lekach Rosenberg.
I want to lift up the names of two neighbors, Victor Manuel Diaz, abducted from his workplace in Minnesota on January 6th, who died in ICE custody in Texas on January 14th. I want to lift up the name of Renee Macklin Good, queer poet, wife, parent, murdered in South Minneapolis by ICE on January 7th while observing an abduction in her neighborhood. May their memories be for blessing. May their families be comforted and surrounded in love.
The next day, another Minnesotan would be killed, Alex Jeffrey Preeti. For Democracy Now!, this is John Hamilton in Minneapolis.
Voices from Friday's massive protest and rally in Minnesota's unions and churches led an economic blackout to protest ICE. Special thanks to John Hamilton and Sam Alkal and our special storm team here in New York. Tamari Astudio, Chirina Nadura, Ravi Karen, Mike Burke, Nicole Salazar, Mike DeFilippo, Safwat Nizal, Becca Staley, John Randolph, Cole Marshall, Julie Crosby, Gina Gester, Messiah Rhodes. I'll be speaking at the John Barrymore Center in Fort Lee.